Today, tomorrow, he did the morning show today. Then we played 15 minutes of his scrum, and
We're going to
then
do it
going to do it
again.
again. He's going to join us live in studio. So if you're making your way to the game on tomorrow night, if you're on your way down, tune in. Brad Treliving at 7:10 tomorrow, plus all the regular elements that you've come to know and love on Flames Warm Up at 7 o'clock tomorrow.
And
what are you doing between 6 and 7 or 5 and 7? Do we have
I got a phone call today, and I was told to be nice.
Okay.
Apparently everybody's going to be down. They said, be nice. Bring them all on. Dean's coming down. Don't be mad at Dean. Bring him on the air. So I'm going to be nice tomorrow. I'm going to have people come on the air because I got to be nice.
You've been told to have a round table.
I've been told to be nice. I had other things planned, but that's okay. I'm not bitter about that. I got other things. We can do this. We're fine. But you and I will both be at
that's
Ford Calgary.
Lame. Well, I was looking forward to those. I thought the Conroy and the staging pieces were going to be great leading up to
Well, apparently there's some concern that I'm in Fort Calgary tomorrow, October 7th, Fort Calgary, the 2015 Molson Canadian NHL faceoff. It's going to be awesome. You'll be there at noon.
Yes.
Be a little slow because doors don't open until 3.
I'm not quite sure what I'll be doing there at noon. By the time I'm done, they'll just be starting. So I'll be the weird person in the corner where there's nothing going on.
Different then?
It's usually my Friday night, the weird guy in the corner.
There you go. Coming up, Elliot Friedman, not so weird. Derek Wills, jury's out. That's all coming up in the next couple hours here on your home of the Calgary Flames, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Broadcasting from the heart of downtown Calgary, 24-7 Sports, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The Big Show, brought to you by Comedy Cave. If it's comedy you crave, come to The Cave. Tickets are always $10. Comedy's so good, you'll whip out your funny bone. Go to comedycave.com. You're listening to CFAC 960 AM, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Media. Also streaming at sportsnet.ca/960. Trending right now in Calgary.
Paul Byron has been claimed off waivers by the Montreal Canadiens. The Flames placed him on waivers yesterday. Mason Raymond, however, cleared waivers just after 10 o'clock today. He remains with the team. The American League wildcard game goes tonight at Yankee Stadium, New York, hosting Houston at 6 o'clock. Winner goes on to take on Kansas City in an ALDS. We'll have that game for you tonight on Sportsnet 960. The Fan. CFL week kicks off early in Ottawa with the Red Blacks as the road team against Toronto. It's all accurate. 5:30 kickoff tonight.
From the Scotiabank Saddledome to Rogers Arena to Madison Square Garden and everywhere in between, we are on the NHL Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We do the research, filter out the crap, add some opinion, and fire it up for you on the drive home. Headlines start now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Headlines brought to you by Glenmore Audi, where every vehicle serviced always gets a free car wash in the all-new Glenmore Audi Pro Touch Cash Wash. Industry-first innovations, satisfaction guaranteed.
Elliot Friedman joins us at 4:45. I am desperately jealous of Elliot Friedman, and I will explain why when he joins us. As well, Jason Lacken, for our NFL insider from CBS Sports, will replay part of his conversation with Pat, because kind of he's the best at what he does. Speaking of the best at what he does, that applies to Will Nault.
Oh, hang on. Pat's
what?
The best at what he does, or Jason's the best at what he does? He didn't really clarify.
What did I say?
You just said...
Left it kind of open-ended. It's for the imagination.
Oh,
it's
okay.
What you need to hear.
Yes.
What
yes.
do you need to hear?
Yes.
What do you need to hear?
Right. Calgary Flames making some news today. And I guess the two players that were on waivers yesterday, Rob, one gets claimed, mm-hmm. one doesn't get claimed. Paul Byron has been claimed by the Montreal Canadiens, and he reacted this morning very emotional in a scrum with the media after finding out the news.
Pretty big surprise, but when we sign our name to that contract, when we're an NHL player, we understand the risks and our lifestyle. It could change at any time. You could be traded. You could be waived. It's so unpredictable. So you just get used to that lifestyle. And now I got to go home, pack my bags, talk to my family, and move on and make the most situation.
Now, I wasn't there. You were. But all indications
yep.
point to a guy that really wasn't really ready for this to happen.
I think he wanted to stay. I think he wanted to stay. You know, he's very well liked in that dressing room. He scribbled out a message on the whiteboard and thanked all the guys, and it was waiting for them when they came in. You know, I made the observation, you know, here's a guy that had been claimed by the Montreal Canadiens. He had a Flames hat. He had a Flames shirt. Now I know that's, you know, he was in, it just seemed a little striking to me that it had quite, hadn't quite sunk in for him. Yeah, you know, he wanted to stay here. You know, I've seen other players in the past. Nick Hagman was really excited to get out of town, that sort of thing. But in the past, sometimes you were waving problems. This was not a problem. This was a guy that I disagree with Pat. My belief is he was going to Stockton, that if he did clear waivers, I think he was going down there, and I think they were going to play him and try and bring him back up. But Montreal saw something they wanted. I'm sure people are asking, well, why didn't the Flames just trade him to Montreal? They tried to trade him. You know, they fielded calls, but nobody was calling on the particular player. You know, waivers is usually kind of the last result, and you know, your last option. I know that, you know, Brad Treliving has a reputation for you know, trying to get things done and making things happen. I don't think they woke up yesterday with the idea of, oh, maybe we should do something. This was kind of the last ditch effort, and hopefully, you know, this is what they needed to do. Last ditch effort's the wrong. This is the decision they came to for putting this roster together. And hoped that he didn't get claimed, probably expected he might get claimed. He did get claimed. He moves on. I will say this. I think Paul Byron deserves a lot of credit for overcoming the size issue. Paul Byron, I think at the time, Jay Feaster tried to present him as you know, one of the key pieces in the Robin Regier deal coming from Buffalo. But I think most of the most people kind of were saying, well, why didn't you get Tyler Ennis, or why didn't you get one of their other small guys? Why this small guy? And he always had to overcome that small guy thing, and he fought his way to the National Hockey League. He spent a lot of time in Abbotsford. He spent a lot of time riding buses, but he got here, and he established himself here. I think it speaks to where the organization's at. I think it speaks to the depth in the organization. If he stayed, great. If he goes, you know, I'm glad he's got an NHL job. I don't think the Flames are any worse off today than they were yesterday.
The Calgary Flames did announce their opening night roster. No surprises, is because we knew who was on that list. 25 guys, TJ Brody, Joe Colburn, and Ladislav Schmid start the season on injured reserve. So the active roster now sits at 22, 14 forwards, 8 defensemen, 3 goalies, and of course 3 guys on waivers. And they will open up the season tomorrow against the Vancouver Canucks at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Pretty cool story out of New Jersey today, Rob, as the Devils announced they will retire Martin Brodeur's number 30 on February 9th at the Prudential Center in New Jersey, and a statue of Brodeur will also be built outside the building. Devils co-owner Joshua Harris made the announcement at a press conference, which included Brodeur today in New Jersey. That ceremony held prior to a regular season contest against the Edmonton Oilers. The 43-year-old becomes the fourth Devils player to have his number retired. He'll join Scott Stevens, Ken Danico, and Scott Niedermayer on the rafters in New Jersey. All those guys also 3-time Cup champions, as well as Brodeur.
Yeah, and it's a slam dunk. And I like the added bonus of the statue, because I think he has that presence in New Jersey. You know, Mario has one out in Pittsburgh, and Edmonton has their Gretzky statue. For the New Jersey Devils, for that franchise, he is that guy. And he deserved that. The only thing, and you know, I talked about it last winter, I wish he didn't go to St. Louis. It would have been nice, neatly tied up in a bow that he, you know, drafted and retired as a member of the New Jersey Devils. But I don't think anybody other than me is bringing that up today. I don't think anybody's losing sleep over that.
And just really quickly wrapping up things on the NHL front today on headlines, you can react to what you will. Thomas Raffel signs a one-year, one-way deal in Winnipeg today worth $575,000. He's been assigned to Manitoba of the American Hockey League. 29-year-old who was granted permission from his club team in Austria to attend Jets training camp. He turns that into a contract and will start in the American Hockey League. Forward Pascal Dupuis of the Pittsburgh Penguins expected to miss 4 to 5 weeks with a lower body body injury that's not related to his blood clot from last season. That's from the Penguins today. And also a cool story out of Pittsburgh, as second round pick of 2015, Daniel Sprong has made the team out of training camp, and the 18-year-old is expected to make his NHL debut in the Penguins season opener on Thursday night in Dallas. Rob, a guy that grew up in the Netherlands, moved to Montreal when he was 9 after he saw an NHL game in Colorado when he was a little boy, convinced his family to move to Montreal. He turns that into an NHL contract, and pretty cool to see a second round pick make an opening night roster.
Well, yeah, well, you remember a couple of weeks ago, I think Derek and I were going to talk about, you know, Rasmus Anderson, whether he would make it as a second round pick, and it's so difficult. You know, sometimes it happens, and here's a case, right? The last, you know, I'm sure I'm wrong on this, but Ryan O'Reilly was one of those players that it was a second round pick that made that jump. It doesn't happen very often. We'll see if he gets through the nine games.
And all eyes tonight in New York as the Yankees will host the Astros in the American League Wild Card contest, and the Astros coming to this game with their, I guess, Cy Young Award. What do you want to call it?
The nomination? Quality candidate, pitcher? Absolutely.
Yeah, Dallas Keuchel will get the start tonight for Houston on short rest, but nonetheless, he's pretty fired up to face the Yankees tonight.
It's a big game, so I'm sure I'll be up for it no matter what, but at this point in time, the routine is there, so I feel comfortable going in. I feel great. There's no end of the season fatigue, I feel like, so... I'm excited, and I don't think I'm going to need any type of adrenaline.
First pitch just after 6 o'clock. We'll have all the action for you right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan from Yankee Stadium. The winner will advance to the American League Division Series, where they'll take on the Kansas City Royals in a best-of-five series.
I'm pulling for Houston. I've seen enough Yankees for me.
Yeah, Astros. I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I briefly flirted with a relationship with the Astros back, as I've talked about before, briefly when they had Mike Scott and Nolan Ryan and Craig Biggio had just been drafted and broke in as a rookie, briefly, and then went back to the Expos. But yeah, Astros. I've seen enough Yankees.
So as I mentioned, first pitch just after 6 o'clock from Yankee Stadium. We'll have that one for you right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Rob, week 16 of the CFL season starts tonight. And
of course it does.
Pretty funny stuff. Not only a Tuesday night game, but it's in Ottawa, a 5:30 kickoff. But the Red Blacks aren't the home team. Toronto Argonauts will be the home team in this contest to kick off week number 16. And funny thing is, with the start on Tuesday, there will be 5 games in week 16. Toronto will play again on Monday in Montreal to wrap things up.
And we're under the impression today that Calgary, who's supposed to play Toronto on the 17th, is going to end up playing that game in Hamilton. And yet, in their infinite wisdom, the CFL gives the Grey Cup next year to Toronto. Get the thing solved. This is, you know, we talked about it with Bruce way back at the beginning of the season. This is one of those years with everything that's going on. You just want to survive the year. I feel for Jim Barker. I feel for Scott Milanovic. I feel for Trevor Harrison and those players. This is a gong show. It reminds me of the crap we used to see in the 80s and the 90s with the Lonnie Gleibermans and, you know, the expansion. And it just has that feel. And you always wanted to support the league. You always wanted to be a CFL fan, but you always felt like it was, you know, not helping itself. This is beginning to have, and I know why. It's the Jays. I get that. I understand that. And, you know, the new building coming online, all of those things, but it just doesn't feel right.
Certainly does not. 7-5 Argonauts at home in Ottawa against the 8-5 Red Blacks. A big game when it comes to those East Division standings. Ottawa currently tied with Hamilton atop the East Division with 16 points and 8 wins. Toronto right behind them with 14 points and 7 wins. That kickoff goes at 5:30, and that's headlines on a Tuesday.
Thank you, sir. We'll take a break. Coming back around the corner, we will hear from our good friend Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider, in conversation with Pat Steinberg, and Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night Canada and Sportsnet will join us. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be live from Fort Calgary. It's the 2015 Molson Canadian NHL Faceoff. Doors open at 3 o'clock. It's free. They've got bands, including Fits in the Tantrums, Ruben in the Dark. They're going to be showing the game there, all kinds of hockey celebrities. It's a great time. It's family-orientated. If you're coming on down, make sure you take the C train to City Hall Station and just walk over from there, as parking is incredibly limited in the area. We'll take a break. Jason Lacken for and some NFL around the corner. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan. 960 on the AM band. Streaming at sportsnet.ca/960. And always on the Rogers Radio app. Talking Calgary sports around the world. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 headlines brought to you by Glenmore Audi. We're committed to making every Audi customer satisfied. That's why we provide two full service departments with the promise to service your Audi with expert technicians.
Trending right now in Calgary.
Paul Byron has been claimed off waivers by the Montreal Canadiens. The Flames placed him on waivers yesterday. Mason Raymond, however, cleared waivers just after 10 o'clock today. He remains with the team. The American League wildcard game goes tonight at Yankee Stadium, New York, hosting Houston at 6 o'clock. Winner goes on to take on Kansas City in an ALDS. We'll have that game for you tonight on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. CFL week kicks off early in Ottawa with the Red Blacks as the road team against Toronto. It's all accurate. 5:30 kickoff tonight.
Brought to you by Beaches Quality Drywall. Once you've started your project, it's harder to fix do-it-yourself blunders. Do your basement and ceiling right with professional experience and precision for an excellent finish. Visit beachqualitydrywall.ca.
Talking football in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
How about that finish to that Detroit-Seattle game? I, as you probably do, know a handful of Lions fans. Oh, inconsolable today, I would suggest. Seattle getting back into the win column again. Does that straighten out their season? What about Miami? They become the first NFL team to fire a coach. Joe Philbin out yesterday, and of course, the owners' meeting's right around the corner. To answer these questions and more, Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider from CBS Sports, joined Pat Steinberg earlier today.
Their offensive line is absolutely horrendous. I mean, if Russell Wilson wasn't, you know, in the top one half of 1% of athletes on the planet, they don't win that game. Now, I know at times he held the ball too long and led some of those turnovers, but I mean, that offense was completely and utterly undermined by an inability to give him anything close to the requisite time to make a football play. Probably they should have ran the ball a little more than they did, I guess. And their hope is they get Marshawn Lynch back for this week's game against the Bengals in Cincinnati, which won't be easy. But I like what they're doing defensively. I mean, it's hard not to. And, you know, they're going to continue to get better on that side of the ball, I believe. And getting Cam Chancellor's been back for a few games now. He's got his legs under him. His presence means so much to them. They're not giving up much at all. And I think they'll find a way to turn the screws and ratchet it up a little bit on a high-flying Bengals offense and shut some of those receivers down. So this will be a great test for them, having to respond on the short week, going across the country, and having to play a Bengals team that, you know, has looked as good as any offense in the league and that hasn't lost a game yet this year, and that has been incredible at home, really, for the last 3 or 4 years. So, and saying all that, my early sense, my early leaning is I kind of like Seattle in this spot. I think they'll regroup a little bit. If they can just, the offensive coordinator there, Bevel's going to have to put his big boy pants on and figure some stuff out and find a way to protect more. And you know what? That might mean less Jimmy Graham on the field. It might mean more two tight end sets where the other tight end is truly a tight end and he's blocking. But I think they'll get back to what they got back to last year when it was all the controversy was about what they do with Percy Harvin. I mean, get back to playing Seattle football, and that'll mean, you know, a lot of power run game stuff.
In conversation with Jason Lacanfora, he's our NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com, joins us Tuesdays and Fridays on The Big Show. Jason, were you expecting the news to come down yesterday of Miami firing head coach Joe Philbin?
Going into the weekend, I thought they would just fire their defensive coordinator. But then if you would have told me that they were going to fly, you know, across the pond, get to London, play lethargic, disinterested, sack football, that they were going to have no position group play well, that they were going to have no individuals really show up other than maybe Jarvis Landry, the talented receiver, if they were going to look like they had no plan on offense or defense, and then Ndamukong Suh, while they're getting their butt kicked and while he's getting run over by Chris Ivory time and time again, would be sitting on the sidelines with $60 million guaranteed, chuckling while they're losing 24-7 or whatever, and I would have said, yeah, Joe Philbin's got fired. And all that happened when Joe Philbin got fired. They were left with no choice. The owner didn't want to do it. He'd been loyal to the guy. He knows it looks like an utter and complete mess, and they are an utter and complete mess when you're doing things like this. But it wasn't going to be enough to fire a coordinator, at least in his eyes. And look, is Dan Campbell going to change anything there? I don't think so. Until the owner figures things out, the owner gets out of his own way, until the owner stops spending 90% of his time in New York City and just parachuting in and out of Miami for football games, until he becomes more emotionally invested in it 365 days a year, not just game day, until he minds the shop, until they get a competent NFL head coach in there, until they find and develop and cultivate leaders in that locker room, which has been devoid of any semblance of it for quite some time, then they're going to continue to max out at 8-8. If some of that stuff I just mentioned changes, then maybe they'll be a relevant organization again.
Is it salvageable this season, do you think, in Miami?
No. I mean, will they be such an abject failure? Will they lose games before they start? You know, will they basically cower in fear at the mere notion of having to play the Buffalo Bills in their home opener, like they did 2 weeks ago in Miami, and literally lose the game before it starts? I hope not. I don't think so. But are they going to get anywhere near the playoffs? And so this is what I'm supposed to believe. Dan Campbell, you know, a position coach, and barely a position coach at that, an NFL journeyman tight end who just got picked for this job because none of the coordinators or anybody else has done anything well. Like, now, okay, so I'm supposed to believe that Dan Campbell, now he's the motivated dominant suit. Like, you know, coming in there with a new team, being the highest paid defensive player in the history of the NFL, that didn't motivate Ndamukong and Sue. Like, having the entire league laugh at you because you had one tackle and 60 snaps 2 weeks ago, and your entire defense had one sack in three games, didn't motivate you. The fact that your head coach's job was on the line, going to play a game in London at a time when no other games were being played in the league, and you came out of that game and you looked as horrible as you did the week before, didn't motivate you. But now Dan Campbell being named the interim head coach is going to change that D-line and get Ndamukong Suh to earn his paycheck. I don't know. I've spent half my life covering professional sports. I don't think it works that way, but maybe I'm naive.
Well, with Jason Lacanfora, he's our NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Two more. You're on your way to New York for NFL owners meetings. Anything that you're focusing on specifically, anything storyline-wise that you're really interested in as you head to New York?
L.A. We're not going to get a vote. We're not going to necessarily be close to a vote. But the league might start whispering in owners' ears, which are the two proposals? Stan Kroenke of the Rams' proposal to go to Inglewood, California, or the proposal from the Chargers and the Raiders to go to Carson, California. They're going to have to start whispering which one of those they prefer. They're going to have to start telling the three potential owners who want to move, here's your relocation fee. Here's how it would have to be paid. Here's how it would have to be financed. Here's your timetable for a move. Here's when you would have to, you know, start sending out season ticket renewals to, you know, or it's not renewals, season ticket applications in your new market. Here's how to extricate yourself from your old market. Here's the date by which we need a formal plan for where you would hold your OTAs and training camp next year. All that stuff's got to be done. I mean, we're in October now. And, you know, if this is really going to happen in 2016, then the decision and the vote's going to have to take place sometime by December, or certainly by Christmas. So time is of the essence. And, look, they may punt on 2016. They may tell all three of these teams, we know it sucks, but go back to your markets with the tail between your legs for another year and try to make do. That wouldn't be ideal for anyone, but it's not out of the question. So we'll start being able to connect a few more dots coming out of this meeting when it breaks on Wednesday night. But we still won't have that many final answers.
Wow. Talk about connected. That guy, Jason Lacanfora. And you know, I know Seattle, there's a lot of Seahawk fans, and we have some actual Dolphin fans on staff, but the end story there, that big one, L.A., they're going to L.A. What that's going to look like, who that's going to be, all of that, yet to be determined, but that is a big, huge story in the National Football League. A lot of stories, some big, some not so big, but when we come back, Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet will dive in with both feet. And again, I said it before, I'm somewhat jealous of Mr. Friedman for many reasons, but one that captured my imagination yesterday, and I will confront him with that when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hockey lives here. Proud home for the Calgary Flames and the National Hockey League. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
A big show brought to you by Comedy Cave. If it's comedy you crave, come to The Cave. Tickets are always $10. Comedy's so good you'll whip out your funny bone. Go to comedycave.com.
Calgary's home for great sports talk and Flames play-by-play. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The Calgary Flames, your team. Anything they do on or off the ice is here first. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. On the NHL beat, it's The Big Show. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 hockey insider Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Eastside Kia's award celebration. Save $4,000 on a 2015 Kia Sportage all-wheel drive. Pay just $25,310 or finance for just $155 biweekly. See eastsidekia.ca.
These are indeed busy times leading up to the drop of the puck tomorrow. Rosters being set. The Calgary Flames roster was set today with 22 players. We've seen waivers. We've seen players released from PTOs. We've seen some people sign. A lot going on, and no better person to talk to about that than Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet. But we got to get this. I have to get this off my chest because, sure, I'm jealous of Elliot on many things. There's no doubt about it. But maybe the biggest thing is yesterday – You got retweeted or replied to by Keith Olbermann on Twitter.
Well, you know, Keith Olbermann is pretty interesting. He has a pretty good relationship with Strombo. Somehow, I guess they were tweeting at each other, and you know, like, they became kind of friendly. And Strombo appeared on his now canceled ESPN show last year. And Kipper, I appeared on it too. I think he's a pretty big, he's a big hockey fan. He watches the show. He tweets at us pretty frequently. Like, I don't really know him that well, but, like, obviously I'll send him a direct message here and there. Like, when he went through, like, his battle last year with ESPN, I sent him a note of support. Like, you know, he's a pretty talented guy. And, I got kind of lost in everything I was doing last night. I never quite replied to him, so you reminded me I have to do that.
Well, you know, he's a polarizing figure politically and even in sports, but for guys doing what we do, I mean, him and, pardon me, bad English, but Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann with SportsCenter, you know, I guess that's over a day. That's almost two decades ago now. They set the standard.
They were huge. Like, they were big, big stars. They were the ones who took SportsCenter and took it to a new level. As a matter of fact, when I moved from radio, from Fan to the Headline Sports, as it was called at the time, a couple of the producers who were coming over from TV, different TV stations, they brought tapes of the Sports Center that those two guys did to show us how to write a sports update, like the way that they combined with each other, like one would write a sentence and the other would finish a word or something like that. It was really impressive how they did it. And, you know, it's kind of funny, like we were all playing for second place in terms of the way to do a sports cast.
And fearless.
I
don't know about you, but I pull punches. There's every once in a while you know guys down or whatever, you take the breather on it, but Olbermann doesn't pull punches. He's fearless.
No, he's fearless, and he sees a line, and he won't just try to, like, I see a line sometimes, and I'll try to tiptoe over, and I'll be like, okay, what can I get away with here? Like, I do that sometimes, and my bosses will look at me and like, okay, you're not getting away with that. He doesn't just run to the line. He charges like a rhino right over it. And you're right, it is fearless. And the one thing, too, Rob, is that I generally agree with you, is I've gotten older, and now I have a son of my own who's jumping around in the background here. You know, I'm much more compassionate than I used to be. I when somebody's down, I really try not to kick them. Like, you know, for example, Rafi Torres yesterday, you know, I don't think there were too many people who were sorry to see Rafi Torres get that suspension, but I was like, you know, here's the facts, and, you know, that's it. Like, everybody else is killing the guy, and, you know, he deserved the punishment he got. He's got no problem with it, but he doesn't need even more people piling on him.
No, I don't disagree with that. Elliot, let's talk a little bit about some of the transactions that have taken place here as teams ramp up for the start of the season. The Calgary Flames lose a player on waivers today. Paul Byron, very much beloved in that locker room, favorite of Bob Hartley here. But he ends up in Montreal. How much of that is, you know, how much of that was an opportunity that was opened up with the story involving Zach Kassian yesterday?
About 100%. Like, I really don't, like, I mean, it could be a little bit smaller than that, but I don't think the Montreal Canadiens are looking for a player if Zach Kassian's on that roster. And, you know, it's funny, I tweeted that out today, and I got a text back from a guy in the league who's like, I'm not sure that Paul Byron can fill the role of Zach Kassian. And I kind of laughed about it because obviously physically they're two diametrically different people. But that is exactly what that is. And I'm sure the Flames suspected it. I have no doubt when they put him on there, they knew they were taking a risk. And once the Kassian thing happened, I think that increased. Montreal was going to take somebody, and Byron ended up being the guy.
That's a story, but I think the other story that is as intriguing, maybe even a little bit more, is Frankie Corrado. And, you know, the Vancouver Canucks are really interesting to me, Elliot. Beyond Corrado, the fact that Virtanen and Hutton and McCann are there, this is a team that nobody really thought could do a youth movement, yet there here's this insurgent of youth, yet now they lose a young depth defenseman. That's got to be a little bit of a hurtful piece of news for the Vancouver Canucks.
It is, because it could have been avoided. Like, if they do some of those weird paper moves, like we saw Olli Maatta, you know, sent down to the American Hockey League today, and we all know that Olli Maatta come opening night and they open on Thursday in Dallas, he's going to be playing for the Penguins. He's not going to be in Wilkes-Barre. They did it for a paper move. They could have done something like that. They could have sent, for example, Hutton down to Utica, and then they could have put Chris Higgins on long-term injury. And, you know, then they could have called Hutton back up, and it would have been no problem. You know, Corrado could have been safe. You know, they admitted they could have done it. They didn't. They took the risk. And, you know, it's interesting. Like, there was a point last night, like, the moment that I heard Corrado was on waivers, I was saying that guy's going to get claimed. And I mentioned it. Yes, I did a hit on the Sportsnet preview show about it, and I do some stuff for the NHL Network about it. And I got a call from an executive, and he said, I'm not sure you should be saying as surely as you are that Corrado is going to get claimed. And I said, why not? You don't think someone's going to take a 22-year-old defenseman? And he said he thought it was going to be 50-50. And he said that the thing that he was worried about was that there were a number of teams that would have loved to use Corrado, but their lineups are set, or they couldn't, or they didn't want to risk putting him on waivers too, because one GM told me flat out he thinks Corrado still needs to play a couple more games in the American Hockey League, and you know he can't do it right away. You got to keep the guy on your roster. So he thought that maybe Corrado wouldn't get claimed, but obviously Toronto decided to make the decision. And the one thing I forgot is Kyle Dubas, who's one of the assistant general managers in Toronto, his history is Sault Ste. Marie, and they played Sudbury, where Corrado played about 100 times a year. So he knew him very well, and I guess I should have seen it coming. I thought it would happen. Somebody put some doubt in my mind. I just think, you know what, Rob, 22-year-old defenseman, boy, you've got Jim Rutherford was another guy. He always told me he never made his mind up on a defenseman until the defenseman was 24. And I've kind of always remembered that. And I thought it was too young to make that kind of mistake.
You know, and I'm glad you bring that up.
I like what Vancouver did with the rest of their guys, though. I do believe rosters should be merit-based.
And we're going to see them here tomorrow night. But I love the fact that you brought up that, because I had a chance to talk to Cassie Campbell today, and we were kind of talking about we forget that. I mean, we've been spoiled here over the last couple of years of players coming onto the scene very early. You know, LeSean Monahan's at 18 and looking like they fit in, or Johnny Gaudreau even after. You know, you got to wait. You know, Dougie Hamilton's been in the league for 3 years, but he's still only 22. Those are the exceptions, not the rules. And sometimes I think we forget that, especially with defensemen.
Well, there's no patience anymore. Like, a guy has a bad year, he sucks, right? Like, you know, like, to me, the biggest challenge that anybody has is patience. And, you know, it's we're very much like, he was good in that game, he's a stud. He was bad in that game, he sucks. And if a guy has a bad year, The pressure to say, to cut bait or say it's never going to happen for that guy is enormous. And the one thing I always remember is what a complete idiot I was, you know, in the 4 years I spent in university from age 19 to almost 23. Like, those were, like, the four dumbest years of my life, really. I had a lot of fun, but I was terminally stupid at that point in time. And I look back at myself and the dumb things that I did. And, you know, these kids now, they're under such a microscope. Like, social media, and sometimes they're their own worst enemies. But now, like, you know, you can watch their games in the American Hockey League online. You can watch their teams in Canadian Juniors or in the NCAA online. Like, there's nowhere to hide. And your warts, they get picked apart so much easier now than they ever used to be. And I think that's the biggest enemy of good, the biggest enemy of good organizations is lack of patience, and I see it too often.
Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night Canada and Sportsnet is our guest. Let's talk about goalies, because you brought up Dustin Tokarski in Montreal as a possible waiver candidate. That happened. I know the Flames have three goalies because they're scared of putting Joni Ortiol, but it's J.F. Berube in Los Angeles who ends up getting claimed.
And that's going to be an interesting one, because I wouldn't be surprised if that's a short-termer in New York. They've got an injury there they're dealing with. And one of the things that was explained to me today is that it would not be a surprise if when the goaltending situation there is set and, you know, Halak and everybody is ready, Berube might get put on waivers again. Like they said, it's not a guarantee, but it could happen. And then Berube might end up, and when that happens in such a short period of time, the original team gets the first crack at claiming them. So I was told, don't be surprised if Berube is back on waivers once the Islanders' goaltending situation heals itself up.
Tell me about, you mentioned him before, but Olli Maatta, because people would look at that and go, oh, he's fallen from grace. He's back in the American Hockey League. That's a paper exercise today, right?
Yeah, basically what happens is around, like, you have to get to the rosters by 3 o'clock your time today. So what happens are, when you have injuries, you can't technically put anybody on long-term injury till tomorrow. So you have to set your roster with the guys who are going to go on LTIR. You can't put guys on LTIR right away, excuse me. So you have to wait. And so what happens is you see guys get demoted who shouldn't be demoted. And Olli Maatta is a perfect example to get under the salary cap. And Pittsburgh did this in 2010. They had Eric Tangrady at the time, and they actually sent him to the East Coast Hockey League. And he was an NHL player at then, and we're like, what is that? And it turned out that their East Coast Hockey League at the time was closer to Pittsburgh than their other team was, the American Hockey League team, and they simply did it for cap reasons. Now, one of the other things that Pittsburgh has done is they've kept Daniel Sprong, who was the 46th overall draft pick out of Prince Edward Island. And it's interesting, like, Dupuis is going on long-term injury, Kunitz is going on long-term injury, and so Sprong is going to get a chance early on. And one of the reasons guys like, and he makes it is, if you're going to lose the long-term injury exemption to its best, you have to go right up against the cap. Because let's just say you're $2 million shy, you're $2 million below the cap, and you put a guy making $4 million on injury, you only get to use $2 million because you have to use up what's left over before you get the relief. So this having Sprong there, that puts Pittsburgh to within, I think, about $8,000 of the cap. So with Dupuis and Kunitz going on, they're pretty much getting the full benefit of those guys' salaries, and that's one of the things you have to do to manage the cap properly. Someday when you have Brad Tree living on, because he used to do this stuff in Arizona, he can explain that a lot better than what I just did.
No, that makes sense, because, you know, there's so many different things that happen at this time of the year, and it would be easy just to see, oh, Olli Maatta has been assigned to Wilkes-Barre Scranton. He must have had a terrible preseason. He's young, but you
he's
know,
be a
we had it here.
Advancement for them, yeah.
Yeah, well exactly.
Yeah.
If you're, but we've seen it before. But yeah. No, it was actually, I think Keith Olbermann would have appreciated that explanation. before
we'll
I let you go, well, someday we'll ask him. A lot of PTOs this year. That was one of the storylines going in. When it's all said and done, not a lot of players able to make good on them. What do you think, or what are you hearing about the pool of players that are out there?